may be seated. So for those who don't know, tonight is our grad night. Woo! So what that means is we're going to honor our 2026 graduates. They're going to come up here. They're going to speak. I'm going to do my best to embarrass them. And before we get too far, oh, dear. There's a lot of cool parts about youth ministry. But one part that gets overlooked is this night, this type of thing where you have to let them go. It's tough. You work side by side with them. They ask questions and you build relationships. And then they get to the age where you get to kick them out on Sunday and it's this like bittersweet thing. Sometimes more bitter, sometimes more sweet, depending on, I'm just kidding. But before we kick them out, we've got a gift for them, and I want to explain their gift. So we've got a Bible for them, and it's not just any Bible. It's an apostolic study Bible. So for those who don't know what an apostolic study Bible is, it's a big book. It's a big book. And it's a big book because some of the foremost preachers, teachers, scholars in our organization have dug into the Word, and they've dug in to find out, hey, what does it mean? What is the original context? And they've put this information in this book down at the bottom. It still is the Bible. It's the Bible on top. It's their commentary down at the bottom, so you can read the Word. And if you're like, hey, what exactly is this verse trying to say? What exactly is this verse meaning? Well, there might be an explanation down at the bottom of, hey, this is a cross-reference to this verse over here, and this is what it means, and this is what it meant with the historical context. But it's given as a gift to symbolize your guys' new chapter in life. You're not youth anymore. You're adults. No more do your parents bring you to events. No more do you get to show up on Friday night and play with silly string or balloons or pool noodles. Now you have to make your own path. And this Bible, it says in Psalms, this book is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. This Bible is meant to guide you when things get dark and when things are great. It's going to answer questions that you still have. Why does this work this way? Why did God choose to do it this way? It's also going to serve as a reminder and a memorial of where you are right now. The entire youth team, and Pastor Peter, Pastor Jessica, who teaches in youth class, have all written something to each and every one of you in the front cover of this Bible. 10 years, 5 years down the road, you can look and be like, oh, Jordan told me to work on that. Oh, I fixed that. I can check that off the list. I'm just kidding. You can't read my writing anyway. You laugh, but it's true. But it's also a reminder if you were to get lost. The Bible talks about the path being straight and narrow. And it's hard to stay on a straight and narrow. You ever tried walking on a balance beam? You might fall off. This book is meant to be a light to remind you. Yes, there's people in here that love you, but there's a God that loves you way more than we ever could and that your parents ever could. And he's written letters to you that he wants you to look into and to investigate. It's been labeled with your name on the front, and my beautiful, wonderful mother has put your name on the front cover in very pretty writing. It's also to show how far you've come. Like I said, don't need to work on that anymore. So, as I embarrass each of you, I'll give you your Bible and you can come up here and you can have the mic. So first, I would like to talk about Miley. So, you might not have seen Miley around because a couple years ago she did move to Iowa. But when she was here, she was involved in events. She came to youth events when she was younger. And still, when she's in town, she attends youth events and attends youth class. And something I thought really cool about Miley, there was one service where we were pushing P7s and pushing reaching out to your friends. And when she got back to her school, she sent me a flyer and said, hey, Jordan, look what I'm posting at school. And Rachel, if you can throw that up here. She made a flyer that said, hey, do you need prayer? Send me an email. May not have been able to start a P7, but still wanted to show the light of Jesus in whatever way that she could. Hold on, I got to find Miley's Bible before I introduce or invite you up here. But Miley, I just want to say, keep seeking Jesus. Don't stop. And we're excited to see where you go and what he does in your life. You can come up here. So before I give you this, I just want to say this is on behalf of the entire youth team. So there you go.
Thank you. I'm going to be honest. I am extremely nervous. I'm like shaking. So just give me 1 second. My message today is about seeking the Lord. As you know, my name is Miley, and sometimes we think that if we wait long enough, something will come to us. Doesn't really matter what it is, but most of the time we just wait, and I don't think that that's always what we have to do. It's not entirely false. There's definitely things that require patience, but sometimes you have to go looking for something before you can find it. You don't automatically wake up one day knowing how to play the guitar. You have to pick it up, practice, learn, make mistakes. You don't wake up one day automatically knowing everything that you need to know. You learn, you grow, you retain what you learn, and you build on that. The same thing goes with our relationship with the Lord. We can sit and wait for him to give us everything that we want. That's not how it works. We have to seek him. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." God tells us that when we seek him with all of our heart, we will find him and that he will provide for us. That also brings up another question. What if you're not doing the seeking? Sometimes you need to seek God. Sometimes he calls you. Think about John and the Baptist. John the Baptist, sorry. John was called into the wilderness to preach. He told the people to prepare the way for the Lord. He told them that someone greater than him was coming. John knew his purpose was not to make people follow him, but his purpose was to point people towards Christ. We see something similar with Andrew and Simon. They were casting their nets into the sea as they usually did. They weren't necessarily looking for Jesus, but Jesus came to them. Jesus came to them and said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew 4:19. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Sometimes you seek, and sometimes he's right there, he's calling you. We see this with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Jesus met a Samaritan woman at the well. At the time, there was a great deal of conflict between the Jews and the Samaritans. But Jesus still spoke with her. Jesus spoke with her, and he said something as simple as asking her for a drink of water. But he was offering her something much greater. At first, she did not understand what he meant. She questioned how he could give her this water when he didn't have a vessel to draw from and the well was quite deep. Jesus continued to talk to her and met her exactly where she was. He told her things about her life that only he or only she would know, or only other people would know if they knew her. She realized who he was in this. And what did she do? She went and told other people. She said, "Come and see a man who told me all the things that I have ever done. Could this be the Christ?" John 4:29. Jesus met with her where she was, showed her what she needed to hear, and she responded by telling others. She did not walk away from him. She did not wait for anything. She went. And I think there's something so important in that. Whether you need to seek God or whether God is calling you or whether he meets you exactly where you are, there's still a response required. You have to move. You have to learn. You have to grow. And you have to seek. James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." It's not enough to simply hear something. You have to do something with it. You can hear about God, you can learn about God, you can read all about him, but eventually you have to choose him. You have to choose to follow him. Doing nothing gives nothing. Doing something gives something. If you want to learn how to play the guitar, you have to pick it up. If you want to learn something, you have to study it. The knowledge doesn't just come to you. You don't just know those things. You don't have to know everything before you start. You don't have to do all the research about the guitar or anything. And you definitely don't have to be perfect. You have to start where you are. You have to learn, you have to grow, and you have to seek. And when you seek him with all your heart, he promises, and ye will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, Jeremiah 21:13. So seek the Lord. Wherever he calls you, follow him. Wherever he meets you, listen to him. And when you hear his word, be doers of it. Do not sit and wait. Seek. Thank you very much.
Kamaya Zimmerman. I haven't even said anything and there's applause. I have waited a long time for this moment. Upon compiling pictures that I could throw up, I was told the only one I could use was this one. So you saw it, and now I'm going to show more. So, first, I want to explain this next picture. Yes. So it's kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of a game in my head. Can I go through church wearing purple and not get a compliment from Cammie? For those who don't know, purple is Cammie's favorite color. And I tried that today and I lost. I did get a compliment. And it's kind of fun because it's like, oh, I might get a compliment from Cammie today in church. Which is either good or bad. Depends on how you look at it. But Cammie is always very, very kind and very open with her compliments, whether I'm wearing purple or when I'm wearing purple, mainly wearing purple. But Cammie is very, very kind. And this was at camp, at family camp. And what she's actually doing is, I don't know if Cammie coined it, but it's a mini clap. So this is the clap that I get. I don't get a full clap. I don't get a, you know, an encore. But I get a, all right, you look okay. Which I didn't even get. Did I get that today? Hey, I got one right now. But Cammie's always been very kind, very open with her compliments. Something that Cammie is not going to get up and speak, which is why I'm speaking a lot about Cammie. But Cammie has made perfect attendance for almost 2 years in deeper class. And for those who don't know, that is something to be awesomely applauded about. But for those who don't know, deeper class is a class set aside for juniors and seniors that we dig deep into the Word. We take on topics that you're going to have to need when you turn into an adult. We take on topics like how to study your Bible, how to pray, how to fast, how to deal with confrontation, how to deal with forgiveness, how to deal with finances. Cammie made 100% of the classes throughout almost the entire 2 years. And I don't have a picture of it. But we were at camp 1 year, and I was like, oh, yeah, you're almost going to make perfect attendance. You were late to this one, or you missed this one. And she's like, what? No, I didn't. I said, yes, you did. I have it on my attendance chart. I don't make mistakes. And she said, no, I didn't. And she pulled up her phone. Show the next picture, please. She pulled up her phone and proceeded to show me all the notes that she took from that class. And I was like, my bad. And I changed it. But this is kind of how you see Cammie in deeper. That's an awesome shirt, by the way. But this is how you see Cammie in deeper class. To the layperson, you might think, or to our guest speakers, you might think, oh, she's just texting on her phone. She's checking Facebook. She's scrolling Instagram. She's on Amazon. No, Cammie is taking notes. Cammie takes very detailed notes. Cammie asks excellent questions. We make them read books in deeper class. Cammie has always purchased the book, done her reading, given her dissertation. I still remember when you talked about Mark 9 almost 2.5 years ago. You did an awesome job, by the way. But this is Cammie, locked in, focused. I just want to thank you. Thank you for taking notes. Thank you for participating. The other day I was talking to an incoming junior about deeper class, and as she was rushing by, she's like, it's awesome! You should attend! And it was just like, that's Cammie. Cammie is very kind. The last one that I have, and this happened in our grad trip. Cammy, thank you for setting the standard for cool. I appreciate it. Thank you for loving Jesus, and thanks for being awesome. Running out of room for all these packages. Sorry. All right. No! 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 I hear no from Isaac way too often. Isaac is this 7'5" beanstalk that we have in youth class. In fact, I have a picture of the last time I was taller than him. There we go. Thank you, April. Thank you so much. Thank you. So this is the last time that I was taller than Isaac. Isaac. We've had some tough talks. We've had some tough times. There's been some tears. There's been some prayers. There's been some frustrations on both of our sides. I love you, dude. But you're the only person I know of to date that has actually slept through a deeper class. I'm not talking about getting dozy at the table. I'm talking about, hello, I had a hard day at work. I'm going to lay down here on the couch. Wake me up when you're done, turd. You barely got credit for that, too, by the way. Isaac is also the only person I know of that has ever gotten, and you can switch to the next one. I hope it's the next one. Yes, the only person that has gotten popcorn and a diet soda to hear our retired UPCI general secretary preach at NAYC. My word. We've also had some high points. We've had some breakthroughs. I was able to see you get the Holy Ghost. And that was one of the most precious moments of my life. To see you at NAYC with your hands raised. Tears streaming down your face. And to hear the Spirit of God flowing out of your mouth. You came back to church after that trip. And you and Aiden got baptized. And I was able to see that too. It's been pretty awesome watching you grow. Get up here. I love you to pieces.
You're still short.
Don't sleep in my classes anymore.
Thanks, Jordan. You're still short, though, by the way. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, I guess I'm here now. Oh, Lord. What a journey. What a journey. Thank you, Jordan, for everything. You're still short. Okay, anyway. Growing up for me was not easy. Never really is. But I never grew up in the church format that most people did. My father walked out on me when I was around 3 years old. And I struggled with a lot of things that most people never really saw. When I was around 14 years old, I struggled with severe depression and anxiety, and I had a very bad drug addiction with prescription pills and things along that line. And by the time I was 16, I was on my fourth suicide attempt. I was in a very dark place, mentally and emotionally, and I truly believed that the world would be so much better if I was not alive. After that, I started going to church. Luther George actually invited me. That is Luther George. Thanks, Luther. And at first, it really helped. I found peace, but unfortunately, like a lot of people unfortunately and sadly do, I slowly started to drift away. A week turned into a month into a year, and I was back in that same dark hole that I was before Luther invited me. The addictions got worse, the suicide attempts got higher, and self-harm was unbearable. That's when God stepped in. As Jordan said, I went to North American Youth Conference. That trip changed everything. In that place, I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And I spoke in tongues for the first time ever. I felt the presence of the Lord in a real way, in a way I've never felt before. I truly felt changed. The day after NAYC, we came back, me and Aiden were both baptized. It hasn't been all peaches and cream or whatever everybody says. It has been a real struggle, but I let God step in, and I let him decide my future. And I stopped trying to decide my own future, and I let God take over. And that is where I am today, here in front of all of you, which is terrifying, absolutely terrifying. I just want to say thank you to Luther, Robbie, Hannah Powell. There's a lot. Kenley, over there in the corner. My mom, obviously. I don't know how you put up with me. I don't. I don't know how you put up with me. Jordan, obviously. So short. Thank you to everybody who has been with me throughout this journey, and thank you to everybody who will be there from here until the end. I appreciate all of you. Thank you.
All right, one more. One more. Luther George. Luther. There's a lot that I could say, but I know you might have a lot to say, so I need to keep it somewhat short. I just want to say, first off, you thank you for answering every stupid, silly question I have about football. For those who don't know, Luther, number 66, is an incredible offensive lineman. And every dumb question I ask, he always answers very patiently and very kindly and doesn't make me feel dumb. But beyond being a great football player, and I'm sorry I never got a chance to go and see one of your games, but thanks for putting all that time, all that energy, and all that passion, not only in a sport, but in your walk with God. There's never been a direction that you've walked down that you haven't given it your all. Whatever direction you're sent or pointed, you're just going to go. And you're going to keep going. And I had to search long and hard to try and find an embarrassing moment, because Luther doesn't, at least in my circle, doesn't really have embarrassing moments. But I did find this nugget in my phone. And it's going to come out of context. And that's okay. You might have to turn the sound up. Oh, dear. Do we have an unmuted? Kind of, yes. Go again, maybe. Maybe. That was, of course, at a youth event. Was it? It was Christmas. Oh. Regardless. I just wanted to say thank you for being a determined young man and friend. You've challenged me in certain ways. You've sharpened me in certain ways. It doesn't matter whether you're teaching in youth class, whether you're preaching over the pulpit. You've been accountable in your life. You've found mentors to guide you along the way. You've listened to them. You've been available and filled a need whenever there's a need filling, regardless of whether you know how to do it or not. Whether it's singing or teaching Bible studies or inviting Isaac to church, you've taken every opportunity and said, "All right, God, let's go." When you don't understand something, I'll get a random text. "Hey, can you meet in 5 minutes and discuss this dissertation on this?" Give me this long paragraph about something that he wants a Bible study on. It's like, Luther, it's 3 a.m. But Luther will want these Bible studies and he'll want to get together. "Hey, Jordan, explain this. Hey, Jordan, help me figure this out." So it's like, great, now I got to figure out what this means in order to try and explain it to Luther. But your passion and your hunger, and it's incredible. And like I said, it's challenged me. One of the most recent eye-opening moments that I had was when we had the deeper dinner at our house, when we had the deeper class over, and it was towards the end. And you know, Luther is generally a very cool, caring, chill guy, but he got the serious tone in his voice. And he said, "We're leaving. It's up to you guys now to set the pace and to be the leaders." And that tone and that awareness that you had of realizing that, yes, I'm here and I had a responsibility, but also the awareness to pass that mantle to the next generation of upcoming seniors and lay it upon them to set the tone. That was an incredible, incredible move that really set me back on my heels. You challenge me to be better and do better in so many ways that you don't know. Come preach the word.
First, I want to give thanks to Jordan and Abby. Believe it or not, me and Jordan have been talking for the last couple months about doing my intro with a lightsaber battle. Sadly, that did not go through. Maybe at Youth Olympics, maybe. but they've done an awesome job for these last few years. Jordan has been an amazing mentor and a leader. He's always been someone that I could run and talk to. There's been times where I've called Jordan. I wrote 11 p.m., but possibly 3 a.m. The night before, I've called them before the night before a P7 meeting, not knowing what I'm going to speak on for the next day. Jordan would stay up and wait until I had a topic to work off of, and then he would later check up how the lesson went. There's also been multiple times where me and Jordan have had personal Bible studies tied towards questions I've had. I could tell that he spent a lot of time and energy into those Bible studies, so thank you. Now to his wife, Abby. Abby, without you, I don't think we would have ever started a class on time my whole youth career. Thank you for putting your foot down when things needed to be stopped or when people needed to focus up. I also don't think we would have survived WIC or NAYC without you. So thank you so much. Thank you. As it's been said before, this year I had an opportunity to attend a missions trip in the three countries known as Scandinavia, mainly Denmark, Norway, and Sweden. Within 10 days, we were able to witness to three different countries and four different cities. The first place we went to was Copenhagen. Copenhagen is a beautiful city. In Copenhagen, we were able to help a church run a youth service. There, me and two other AYC members talked about what God has done in our life and where he's taken us out of. We were able to testify of what God has done in our lives. The next day, we went to Oslo, Norway. There, we broke off into groups and did a prayer walk around the city. We would walk around and be led by the Spirit to talk to certain people that we see. We were able to pray and ask if they would come to service. The next day, we went to church in Oslo. There, we got to listen to a youth president from Arizona named Brother Schrader. He did a phenomenal job. He talked about the Potter's Field. Then we got on a train to Sweden. There we stopped in Gothenburg, Sweden. In Gothenburg, we did another prayer walk around the city and got to sightsee. The next day, we got on a train to Stockholm. In Stockholm, we passed out flyers for a church that upcoming Sunday and prayed for others in the streets. The trip has put me in situations out of my comfort zone. I've always thought I was a pretty out of comfort zone guy. I would go around my school and just ask and just go up and talk to random people in the hallway. But this trip really did put me out of my comfort zone a lot. And I think that's a good thing for us Christians. It's comfortable to go to our church and live our lives, not realizing that the person who sits right next to you at work might be dealing with the same thing that you have gone through. They don't have that relationship with God like you. They don't have that person that they could run to and talk about it. A light shouldn't stay in a lit room. Take your light and go find the darkness. Go find someone who's never felt Jesus' love, his peace, his joy, his Spirit. It's better to be a light in the darkness and be seen than to have someone say to you at the end of the day, "I never saw the light." Youth, I highly encourage, at least like if you're going to public school or private school, to step out your comfort zone and search for the lost. One of my favorite things I did during high school was I would try to leave my group of kids I sat with and go sit with a group of kids I never knew. And I would go try talking to them. So I highly encourage it. If you are homeschooled, I highly encourage you to work in, or to be a light in your workplace. Next, I do want to give thanks to everyone who has invested in our youth, into me, into anyone in our youth, and into our church. At this time, please welcome Pastor Peter.
Praise God. You know, let's stand. We've been sitting a long time. Let's stand. Man, didn't these youth do a good job tonight? Woo! Well done. Well done. And I know we'll probably say something Sunday, but we have a great youth team, too. A phenomenal youth team. Praise God. You know, to the youth, you know, I want to end this with a time for you guys to respond to what God has been saying. This was some great things from Miley to, where'd he go? Back there, my guy Isaac and Luther. God is talking to youth in this day and age. I think the problem is the world is talking a lot louder, right? And so before I go on this, I want to tell you seniors something. Hold up your Bible. You got your Bible? Hold it up. I want to teach you a lesson about this Bible, okay? This Bible is super, super great if you open it. It's super, super great if you'll read it. And it'll change your life if you will ask God to speak to you through it. That's my testimony. But it does nothing sitting on a shelf. Seniors, read it. It will save your life. It will change your life. It'll give you a new life. I encourage you. Praise God. Youth. I said that the world is pretty loud right now. And I think the world and just society wants to paint a picture of what it's like to be you and to be real. But what I see in Scripture is a few things. I see that there is an all-knowing God who wants to know you. I see that there's an all-powerful God who wants to help you. He calls himself a friend who will never leave you or forsake you. He's described as a tower that you run to. And what's cool about all these thoughts is that none of these have prerequisites of perfection or parentage. Where you come from or what you've done has no means to all those things that I just described. Tonight, God wants you to know that he is real. And he wants to be real to you, and he's asking you to be real to him. What does that look like? Well, for me, it looks like bringing my confusions to God, my anger to God, my sadness and depressions to God. It means bringing the things that I think are broken to God. But the problem is, there's too much out there in society that says God is judgmental and he's waiting to strike you. You've heard me say it before, but in Isaiah 42:3, it's describing this Messiah, and it says, a bruised reed he will never break. You know what that means? It means that if you come to him and you're a little broken, you're a little crooked, you're a little bruised, he's not here to break you. He's here to heal you. And if you don't believe me, just start reading the New Testament. Miley mentioned a bunch of them. Just start reading when Jesus saw people that were sinners and losers and cheaters and demon-possessed. And what did he do? He gets down on his knees and he's welcoming them. Youth, as they start to sing, I want to just encourage you. Come be real with God tonight. I know it's Wednesday night. I know it's 8:15. But there is never, never a wrong time to be real with God. Bring to him what you're worried about. Bring to him your brokenness, your frustrations. Bring it tonight. God is here.